Welcome back to our series, Shine. We are continuing this week looking at the words of Jesus. When he talked to his followers, when he was teaching and preaching, he said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hilltop cannot be hidden." And so we're talking about what it means for us to shine. We're in a time where our world is looking for light, is looking for hope, is looking for direction. And how do we, as followers of Christ, shine our light into the world? We talked about this last week when history looks back at 2020 and going to ask, where was the church during this time? Where were the followers of Christ? Church, we cannot stay hidden at this time. So how do we let our light shine? And as we asked the question last week, are we adding to the darkness or are we bringing light? I hope that you've been bringing light this week and that you will continue to look for ways to shine your light. It was great this past week. On Friday, we were able to shine our light as a church. We have a dollar club where every week those that come and contribute their cash dollars, those dollars go into a separate account, and those dollars are used to bless people in the community, in the church, those that have needs. And one of those ways that we were able to do that this week was to bless the teachers at Daniel Wright Elementary School. As a matter of fact, the whole staff of 85, including the principal and administrators, we were able to provide them lunch as they prepare to start school this next week. And so it was fun to go over there, to share with them, and to really let our light shine in this way. Take a look. It's so awesome to be able to represent Meadow Park and just to be in this partnership with one of our local schools. And we just realize the needs right now in our schools. And I just want to take a moment, even as we begin here, to pray for all of those that are involved in education with our children. When I think about everyone that's going back in these uncertain times with the difficulties of navigating how to do remote learning or to do all the socially distanced engagement if it's in person, I just want to take a moment to pray. From everybody from the superintendents to those that are working on the staff in the custodial departments or that are in the nursing support, that are teachers, that are administrators, from preschool through college and private schools, I just want to thank you for what you're doing, and I want to pray for you. And I also want to take a moment to pray for all of the parents that are taking on additional responsibilities during this time, juggling home and family life and educating their kids and helping in that process. And of course, I want to pray for all of the students that God would allow us to shine our light wherever we go. So let's pray as we begin our time together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this awesome privilege that we have to be your light in dark places. And Father, as we begin this school year in these days and in these weeks, so many are anxious about what it means and how to go about it. Parents are anxious and teachers are anxious and administrators trying to make the right decisions. Father, I just pray for your peace. And I pray for courage, and I pray for health, and I pray for safety. And Father, I pray for just quality education that we can teach the kids and those that are growing to adulthood, Father, that they would just be educated, and Father, that those that are serving in your capacity in these different places, from coaches and teachers and everyone we mentioned, Lord, would you allow them to let their light shine in this time? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, as we started the series last week, I was talking with my daughter, my oldest daughter, and she said, "Dad, hey, great message last week," which is always nice to hear from my daughter. But she said, "But you didn't really say how we're supposed to let our light shine. You didn't really get that specific." Well, the good news is these next several weeks, we're going to get more specific. What does it look like to let our light shine? This week, we're going to talk about shining hope in week two. Shining hope. How do we shine hope to the world around us? And how do we do that using our words and our presence in different places and social media and conversations? How do we actually shine our light in those ways? And then next week, we're going to be looking at how do we shine our light with our good deeds and the things that we do and the ways that we interact with people. And then the third week, how do we shine our light with each other, towards one another, and encouraging each other in that way. So today, let's look at how do we shine our light. And again, like I said, I want to talk about our words and our actions, our words and our presence, the way we engage with people. We know in this time there is so much talk. There is so much content that's going out. 24-hour news that's been a reality for many years. But when you think about the number of channels we have access to, when we think about the websites, the apps, the media, the social media that's coming at us, the conversations that we have, so many political conversations, so many opinions and points of view. Let me just throw a couple of stats at you that are just actually pretty mind-boggling when we think about especially the arena of social media, where so many of us can have a voice and speak into. Listen to this, on YouTube, get this. These are the uploads. More than 500 hours of fresh content of videos are uploaded every minute. 500 hours per minute. You know what that comes out to? That comes out to 720,000 hours of content created and uploaded in just one day. That would take a human being 82 years, from birth until 82 years, watching nonstop on YouTube just to watch the content that's created in one day. It's just absolutely mind-blowing. When we look at Facebook, every 60 seconds on Facebook, get this, there are 317,000 status updates, 147,000 photos are uploaded, and 54,000 links are shared. That's insane. That's just in 60 seconds, and what it just took me to tell you this, all that took place. And so, by the way, if you're watching online, be one of those. Share this link, share this video, share with others what God is doing, update your status. But even the video views, when we think about a platform like TikTok, which is under controversy in these days or in the news a lot, 1 billion video views every single day. A billion in one day. So much noise, so much content. Everyone's trying to convince us of something. Everybody wants us to think about their point of view. And we think about things like, should I vote for Trump or for Biden? Should we open schools or keep them closed? Hydroxychloroquine, good or bad? Should we do open businesses or churches or keep them closed? On and on, the debates rage. Mail-in ballots, good or bad? Everyone has an opinion. When I think about this idea of the popular view of hearing other people's opinions, I remember years ago when social media was just really starting to take off, the first news stories that would interview people and say, what do you think about an issue? And I remember thinking, just tell me the news. What decisions are leaders making? Who cares what Nancy in North Carolina thinks about the foreclosures in the market? It doesn't matter. But what we've seen is that our voices are being heard increasingly, and that we all have a platform. We all have a voice, whether it's through social media or whether it's through the circles that we have. We have a megaphone to the world, where you can pick up your phone and in an instant you can go live and broadcast to the world anyone that will listen on Facebook Live. You can update statuses, you can share. You have the ability to reach people. But even in your daily places of work and school and home and neighborhood, there are people that we have an audience with. And the influence is great. But I think about our church and I think about social media, or I think about these videos that are streaming. People watch them throughout the world. We'll see that there are some viewers in Europe or somebody from Africa or somebody in South America. And we don't understand and sometimes realize the influence that we have to shine light and to bring hope to other people. And what we've seen even through this time of the pandemic and the racial tensions, that when people's voices come together, they can make a big difference. They can have a great influence. And so what we want to talk about is how are we shining our light in these areas? But maybe the question comes, should we shine our light in the political and the social realms? Is that really where Christians ought to engage? I mean, we have different views, we have different opinions about things that are in the political arena and in the social arena. How do we deal with immigration? How do we deal with healthcare? What about tax reform? These are policies and things where believers can have different viewpoints and different ideas. And even in the areas where we would say faith speaks into, we have lots of different understandings and ideas. and decisions that are being made in the political realm and social realm, things like abortion, same-sex marriage, dealing with racism, religious rights and freedoms. And a lot of these, and almost all of these, are hot topic items. They're being contended for on different sides, and people have strong opinions. And I think we ask ourselves, well, should we as Christians be involved? What's our role? Do we stay silent? I think many of us make the false assumption. We say, I personally believe in such and such, but I can't impose my morality on others. And so we feel like as people of faith, maybe we should just maybe hold back a little more and be quieter. And can we really impose our morality on others? But that's exactly what legislation and government does. When a law is made, and a law that favors, you know, those who abide and don't steal other people's things, there's a morality that goes from that group against those that think it's okay to take other people's things. Law and morality and legislation all go together. Here's what Chuck Colson says, and I think it's very helpful for us. He says, the popular notion that you can't legislate morality is a myth. Morality is legislated every day from the vantage point of one value system being chosen over another. The question is not whether we legislate morality, but whose morality gets legislated. And so when we're in an election year and we hear the different issues and topics, we have a question. Do we isolate or do we influence? And to what extent do we engage? And how do we engage that? What's our role as believers? We read in 2 Corinthians 5, it says this, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So we represent Christ. We are his ambassador, and he's making his appeal through us. And so when it comes to shining our light in different places in different ways, this is what God is saying. You're my ambassador. You're my representative in that place and in that space. So let's look at this passage we've been looking at in this series. We're looking at Matthew chapter 5, and I want to look at the verse after Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Then he goes on, and he says in the next verse, he says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. So when we think about Jesus saying these words, he's saying this is common sense. I mean, no one lights a lamp, right, and puts it under a basket. When we light a lamp, we light it for a reason. We light a lamp when it gets dark. We light a lamp when we need to find our way. We light a lamp for a reason. The last thing I'm going to do is light a lamp and then cover it up and not use its light. And Jesus is saying, that's the point here. What a waste of time. I'm not going to ignite you and not use you. I want to ignite you for a purpose. Jesus expects us to shine our light in the dark. He expects that of us. He expects us. That's why he lights the light. No one puts it under a basket. And what he's saying, actually, it's not about just covering our light. He's saying it gets put up on a stand. We're going to elevate that light. We're going to put it on a higher place. We're going to put it on a stand where it can give light to everyone. He's being very strategic about that. And so we need to learn to lift our light, to actually lift our light higher. The higher the light goes, the more that it shines. And it gives its light to everyone, as he says here. We are called to strategically lift our light and shine it where it is most effective. So God is saying, Jesus is saying to us, look, I've lit you up. I've ignited you with hope and with life. Don't cover it up. I want you to elevate that light. I want it to be put on a stand where it gives light to everyone. And then he says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. And that's what we're talking about, is how do we shine out? We all radiate something. We all have something in our presence, again, to that question we said earlier. Are we adding to the darkness, or are we bringing light? What are you radiating in the places where you work, in the places where you serve, in the places you are each and every day? And ultimately, how do you shine that light? How do you do that? So let's get specific to help answer my daughter's question we asked earlier. All right, give us something more practical. How do we do this? Well, I want us to look at the acronym THINK. I don't know if you've seen this online, but this is in the world where it talks about, well, how do you post and how should you approach posting on social media? But I think it applies to our conversations. And it says, before you post, before you speak, think. Think, and THINK stands for this. We ask ourselves these questions. Is it true? The T, true. Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And so we have a responsibility as we're talking about how do we shine our light. We need to do that well. Otherwise, we're just going to be adding to the darkness. And so when we deal with difficult and diverse topics in politics and in social media and in culture, there's so much division. There's so much tension. There's tension between friends. There's tension between family members. There's people who have broken relationships who say, we cannot talk about this topic, or I'm going to unfriend you, or even within the church. We have different views. How do we engage and how do we shine our light in a way that makes a difference? So let's look at these five different areas. The first question, is it true? Truth seems to be under attack these days. We don't seem to know what to believe anymore. We hear the term fake news, or it's propaganda or opinion, and it's got its slants and its biases. So how do we approach this? Well, it's so easy for us just to share on what we've heard and seen. Oh, this sounds good. Here's a juicy nugget. There's so much clickbait out there, things that get us to draw our attention, that try to stir things up. And it's so easy just to look at that and read a headline and share it without even looking at the content. Or this was a good morsel or rumor. I don't even know if it's true, but boy, that sure got somebody up in arms. I'm going to share that. We need to check, is this true? Look, just because your mama shared it doesn't mean it's true. Just because your best friend shared it doesn't mean it's true. It's not necessarily true because your pastor shared it, or a doctor shared it, or a politician, or an expert. As we've seen, there are experts in every area promoting every different point of view. So look into it and see, is this true? Do you remember back to when the whole COVID started and people were looking at remedies and how to protect ourselves? People were sharing things like, you know, gargle salt water, it'll kill it when it's in the throat. Take a hair dryer and blow it in your mouth, or suck on an ice cube, or remember, masks don't help? That was being said. And now we must wear masks. Well, we need to look through. We need to see, is this true? But as believers, we need to think even further. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So before we ever communicate, if we want freedom, we need to speak and we need to talk in truth. And as followers of Christ, we need to be asking the question, not just is something true, but is it based on the Word of God? What does the Bible say? Now, the Bible's not going to answer the question of whether hydroxychloroquine is effective in treating COVID. But in other areas where we're talking about policies and issues, where we stand on different viewpoints, we need to look at God's Word and have a standing and saying, is what I'm saying and promoting, is this founded and true in God's Word? 2 Timothy 2:25 says, gently instruct those who oppose the truth. So it's not that Scripture says just ignore it if things are wrong, but what we're going to be talking about here really through these other topics is how do we approach it? It's not just whether or not something's true, but how do we influence? How do we shine our light? And here again, in Timothy, it says, gently instruct those. So it's about how we share. So first, is it true? But then we move along, and now we ask this question, is it helpful? Just because something's true doesn't necessarily mean it's helpful in the conversation. And in Ephesians 4, we read, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement. See, as believers, we're called to add in a positive way, things that are good, things that are helpful, things that encourage. And so many times we see that there is no civility in our public discourse today. The way people interact, the way people talk, it's pretty ugly, isn't it? There's a lack of respect. And I think we need to ask this question. Are you contributing to the discourse or the division? Are you adding to the discourse, which is healthy conversation, healthy dialogue, helping understand issues? Or is the way you're saying it and what you're saying just adding to that division? And here's some things that we're seeing. We're seeing that there's a focus not on issues, but on personal attacks. And what we need to do is we need to focus on issues and stop attacking people. Stop attacking character as the primary way in which we're trying to win an argument. And not just with those in political leadership, but with those that maybe have different viewpoints. Again, are in different parties. It's so easy for us to say, you know, Trump is this and Biden is this. But then we take it a step further and we go to, you know, to those that support one candidate or another. Oh man, if you're Trump, how could you possibly support Trump? You are obviously a racist. You're anti-science. You must hate immigrants. Is that true of Trump supporters? Is that true of Republicans? On the other side, what do they say about Biden? Well, you know, if you support Biden, what are you, some kind of liberal socialist? Are you anti-police? Are you a baby killer? And we're so easy just to go to these extremes and to drop these labels. And what it does is it shuts down the conversation. And it really adds to that division. It is not helpful whatsoever. In 1 Peter, we read, "Don't retaliate with insults where people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing." When was the last time we saw that in any kind of political debate? And everybody claims, or so many claim to be believers and people of faith, and yet when I see the words and the way they bite one another, I'm thinking, I don't understand how we see that from Scripture. We can be strong in our convictions, but we don't have to insult. How do we pay back with a blessing? It's tough to be in leadership right now. Motives are being questioned left and right. I mean, just even as we think about the opening of schools, whether it's at a college level or whether it's in different districts, it's got to be incredibly difficult to be a superintendent or to be a college president. I understand the difficulty even as we try to manage our child care center and how to interact with these difficult issues. And what we need to be doing is praying for people, encouraging, because I have to believe, and we need to believe, the best in the motives of those in our leadership, because I believe every teacher and every leader wants what's best for kids, and for the health and safety. I believe our governor wants what's best for the state and for the economy, but they're complex issues. And to just paint with a wide brush and push people and question their motives, let's not do that. That is not helpful. That doesn't help anything. Just because we disagree with somebody doesn't mean we don't we have to hate them. Here's what, I love what Rick Warren said, and you've probably seen this going around. He says, our culture has accepted two huge lies. The first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. The second is that to love someone means you agree with everything they believe or do. Both are nonsense. We can disagree. We can love and respect one another and yet disagree. And just because I love you doesn't mean I approve of everything. But in the church, we have disagreements. In families, we see things different. But it doesn't need to separate us. Here's a little tip for us. Stick to the facts, not personal attacks. That's going to get us a lot farther. That's going to be a lot more helpful, because personal attacks will just shut things down. When we say things like, man, you've got to be an idiot to believe this, that's not helpful. Instead, maybe we should say things like this. You know, here's how I understand God's word to speak into this. This is how I'm understanding. Or let me share something with you that might help you understand where I'm coming from. Here's some data from a trusted source. I'm going to share a link to an article. I just want to hear maybe what you think about that. Such a different tone, such a more respectful way to approach differences, adding to the discourse, not to the division. Is it true? Is it helpful? The third is this, is it inspiring? Is it inspiring? 1 Peter 3 says this, and if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. Are you seeing a theme here? It's not just that we share our hope. It's not just that we share truth. It's how we share it. It's how we shine our light. And we should share our hope. Hope is inspiring. Our faith is inspiring. The future that we envision should be inspiring. And that is how we need to speak to draw people into that, to express that in a good way. Look, you don't win someone over through an argument. Argument and getting them to, you know, just argue to your way of thinking does not win people over. When was the last time you just had an all-out argument and you just used personal attacks and everything else, and the person at the end said, you know what, you're right. I do think I see things from your vantage point. That doesn't happen. We need to be people who inspire. We don't change anyone's mind unless we win their heart. And that happens through relationship. It's all about relationships. Listen, don't win the argument only to lose the relationship. And we've seen this far too many times. We win arguments, but we've lost the relationship. We just can't talk about politics. We just can't talk about this issue. I just can't sit with them. I can't be in the same room with them. You're arguing, but you're losing the relationship, and that is not how it is to be with us as followers of Christ. Here's what Ed Setzer says. Christians should be more interested in getting to know their neighbors and staying true to biblical teachings than winning political debates. See, love is our calling card. Relationships is where it's at. Because you see, even after an election, We still have a relationship with people, and if we want to have influence, we need to continue to maintain that relationship. And we do that by being inspiring. We do that by building that relationship, by listening to people of different viewpoints and trying to understand them. A group did a study, Lifeway Research did a study that backs this up. And it says, those who listened to more diverse voices and weren't just hanging out with folks like them, including on social media, tend to be more civil. See, when we expand our viewpoint, when we listen to others, when we hear what's going on, we have an opportunity to influence them, to inspire them. And that bears out. Are we only around those who view things exactly like us? Or are we willing to, again, be civil and inspiring and talking to one another? But so often our pride gets in the way. Our pride about our viewpoint. Oh, I'm woke to this new idea. I've been enlightened. I have all the answers. And it's our own pride that doesn't allow us to listen to others and to hear others' viewpoints. And so we drive home the truth. And in the end, we're killing relationship. And we're just isolating ourselves. And we're adding to that division. So is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? But this moves us to the next point. Is it necessary? Not everything needs to be said. And just because we have a thought doesn't mean it needs to go out on social media. And just because an issue comes up doesn't mean we have to have an opinion and share it with everyone in a moment. That may not be helpful, but now we're asking, is it necessary? This is a verse that I think many of us should maybe have somewhere on our, you know, on a mirror that we see every day, or maybe on our laptop, or maybe on our phones. And here's what it says, Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. A fool gives full vent to his spirit. Ooh, something's gotten under your skin. Something's just got you up in arms, and we got to give full vent to it right away because we're outraged and we're angry and we're upset. Well, a wise person, right, is one who quietly holds it back. It's not to say we don't ever speak, but it's a matter of timing. And when we ask this question, is it necessary, maybe we need to think about listening first. And versus pride of saying, here's my opinion, here's my view, and we ram it down people's throats, humility asks questions and listens. Humility asks questions and listens. And maybe we say things like to somebody else with a different viewpoint, you know, help me understand your position. Say a little bit more about that. I'm curious. Maybe you throw out an idea and ask, how would you respond to this? You ask a question and you invite. Maybe you say, you know, have you thought about this? And you share it in a different perspective. It would even go a long way for you to say, you know what? You make an interesting point there. I'm going to need to think about that a little bit more. I haven't seen it that way. But in order to do that, we need to slow the conversation. We need to slow the anger and the outrage down. James gives us such great advice here in James chapter 1. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We need to slow down the conversation. We need to slow the pace of the noise and the frustrations. And what we need to be quick to do, what does he say? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. I think that's great advice when we engage these conversations. When we go and we want to shine our light with others, our light shines brighter when we begin with questions. When we allow, invite others in, again, it establishes that relationships. The relationship, it's what connects us with others. And as we've been saying throughout this whole time, in the way in which we speak, right, first, is it true? Is it helpful, right? Is it inspiring, or is it necessary? And now, is it kind? Is it kind? The whole time we've been talking about, it's the way in which we say things. It's the way in which we approach the conversation. When we're just recklessly sharing these, you know, these digs and these jabs on social media, when we talk to people in crude and rude ways, what it's actually doing is it's entrenching the other person deeper into their viewpoints and just convincing them, that's why I believe what I do, because those people are just idiots. Look at the way they're talking. The way we speak, the kindness, that's what conveys to others. That's what shines the light. And we have to ask, how am I reflecting Christ in the way that I'm speaking? In the way that I'm writing, in the way that I'm engaging? How am I reflecting Christ? When they see me, when they hear me, am I that ambassador of Christ in the way that I speak? Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6 says it this way. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. It's wisdom. How can we be kind in these? Like, how can we be gracious? How can what we say be seasoned with salt, that it adds that flavoring, that it adds that goodness, that it has that beauty in the way that we speak? You know, the proverb that you've heard out there, actually it was preached by a pastor back in the 1900s, it says, it's better to light a candle than curse the darkness. Jesus is calling us to light a candle, and that kindness lights a candle. It brings hope. If we're just out there cursing the darkness and cursing everything that's wrong, that is not winsome. That does not bring people closer to the truth. And Jesus modeled this. God modeled this for us. In Romans chapter 2, in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. It's not God's arguments. It's not God whapping us over the head. It's kindness that leads us to change spiritually. And that's the kind of influence we can have on others. It's the way in which we engage the world around us. And it's the way that God wins us over. It's his kindness that draws us in, and ultimately the love of God wins us over. And that's how we shine our light into the world around us. We need to think. Think before we speak. Think before we post, so that we can be the ones that let the light in. We can be the ones that shine God's light and bring out the beauty in the world around us. And I just want to end with this thought. It's actually the way one of the paraphrases of Scripture, the Message, translates this verse, Matthew 5:14. It says this: here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. And I just love that phrase, bringing out the God colors, because isn't that what light does? In the darkness, everything becomes monochromatic, but when the light shines, the colors come out. And we can be the ones in our speech and when we talk to people online, when they scroll through your feed, is there light emanating from that? Is there goodness? Is there beauty? Are you highlighting the great things that are happening in the world, the wonderful things? Are you highlighting why you believe what you do and the beauty of that? When you're in conversations with friends, with people in church, with coworkers, when you're back in school or with teammates, are you bringing out the God colors in the world around us and in the people? That is how we shine. That's what's going to set us apart as followers of Christ, shining our light in a dark world. And that is the way we are winsome. When people see that we speak with respect, when we approach with humility, when we ask questions, when we stay connected even with people with diverse views, and we say, help me to understand, can I help you understand? It's the way that we shine our light. And God is asking us, and Jesus is asking us, saying, you are the light of the world. Now I've lit you up. I've lit your candle. Don't hide it, but raise that candle so its light will shine out for all to see. Let's let the God colors shine bright for all to see. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this time together. These words of Scripture that remind us, God, over and over again, it's how we engage the world around us that allows us to be your ambassadors, that allows your light to shine through us. And Father, may people, when they hear us, when they see us, when they see us engaging, may they see you. May they see people who approach the divisions and the difficulties and the opposing viewpoints. May they see people who approach it differently and ask, what's going on there? What's different about this person? May they see you through us as we shine into the world around us. And Father, if anyone listening here today does not know you and does not have that light in you, may your kindness draw us to repentance, to change, and just to experience your goodness and your beauty, that we could walk in that light and that we could walk in that truth. Lord, help us to be those people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.